Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
And we're live. Okay. What up, guys? Welcome to another DL Gaming Podcast. You know the drill. This week was a special week for myself and probably Emilio as well, and maybe even
Bobby.
Every
week's a special week for me.
Yeah. Well, maybe. This one was extra special because Star Wars came out. We watched it. Emilio and I did the 7-movie marathon. Well, I didn't go to all 7. I went to 4.
Bitched out.
I went to 4.
I was at the theater from... We got there at 2:45, maybe 3 a.m. They let us in at 3:30. And the first movie started at 4 a.m. And then there was only 15-minute breaks all the way up until 9 p.m.
9:30. Because the last movie started at 7 and it's 2.5 hours, basically.
And we stayed till the credits because the information wasn't out that it didn't have after-credit segment yet. So... You know, after you've been there 17 hours, what's another 10 minutes of credits?
Seriously.
But man, I don't think I've ever noticed so many credits. I was like, come on. Come on.
All right.
Key Special Grip Part 2? Really?
We're going to start off with a little trivia. This is Star Wars video game themed trivia. You guys ready? First one to answer gets the point. I got 5 of them.
Wins.
How many Star Wars video games have been made?
Oh, shit. 45.
15.
You guys are way wrong. Between 80 and 100 Star Wars...
Wow.
Officially licensed Star Wars video games have been made.
Wow. Damn. I get the point then.
Yeah. Which was the first one?
That would be... Oh.
X-Wing?
Yeah, it was that box... Yeah, voxel one. I want to say... Yeah.
Technically, the first one was Kenner's tabletop Star Wars electronic battle command game from 1979, but that's not a real...
I'm talking about the arcade one where you're an X-Wing fight. I don't think it's called X-Wing, though.
The first official Star Wars video game officially licensed was on the Atari 2600, and it was The Empire Strike Back in 1982.
Oh, right. Yep. You play the little speeder.
All right. Which was the first ever to have digitized speech from a film? This was the first ever of any video game.
Rogue Squadron.
I think it was the one that you were talking about. It was the 1983 Star Wars arcade game.
Oh, stay on target.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would say that.
Yeah. Who currently has the rights to make Star Wars video games?
Disney? No, LucasArts, right? They still have... They retain the rights to that.
You guys are both wrong right now. Well,
Marvel.
It's electronic... EA has the rights to make Star Wars video games.
Duh.
For console and PC, Jesus. While Disney has the rights for other platforms such as smartphone, tablets, and browsers.
This is all very specific.
Yeah, you gotta be...
You said Disney, right?
Yeah, you said Disney.
You got a point.
All right. What's the highest rated video Star Wars video game according to Metacritic?
Oh, Knights of the Old Republic 2.
You get the point. Yeah. It is Coder with a 93. Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2 is second on the list with a 91. So I'll let you guys both have the point there.
What? No.
Okay, you get the point.
I need my points, man. I never win these things. I think I'm in the lead.
I think you are, too. All right, last one. What was the worst rated?
Oh, I know what it is, but I don't know the name of it.
To caveat this, these are actually rated because there's, you know, 16 pages on Metacritic, but the last 5 pages are all iOS games that aren't even rated. This is the worst one that actually has a rating on Metacritic.
It's the one where you... Well, I'm guessing here, but is it the one where you play as, like, Ahsoka Tano from the... not cartoon, but the digitally animated...
The Clone Wars?
Yeah, the Clone Wars.
It might be.
It's like a platformer, almost. It was really terrible. And there was another one where you fly around in one of those Naboo fighters, and you couldn't even change the controls, whether you wanted, like... you know how you can change where if you move your mouse down or up, it controls whether you go up or down on the screen. You couldn't even reverse that.
Oh, really?
There's some really bad ones that I played because I bought the whole Star Wars pack, but I only know PC games.
So the worst PC game according to Metacritic, is Star Wars The Clone Wars Republic Heroes.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Republic Heroes.
The worst one that is just a Star Wars game that, according to Metacritic, is Star Wars Episode II Attack of the Clones on Game Boy Advance.
That's right. It's also the worst movie out of all of them.
Which got a whopping 38 on Metacritic.
You know what's crazy, though, is Republic Heroes looks like a good game from the screenshots. If you look at it, you're like, this could be good. It looks like, you know, it could be an interesting Star Wars platformer. But when you actually play it, it is so garbage. Yep.
The Republic Heroes?
Yeah. Let me...
Clone War, or what was this thing? That cartoon, what's it called?
The Clone Wars.
That was really good. I watched that.
I started watching last night and I fell asleep. But I got halfway through the first episode.
It's really good.
Yeah, like these screenshots look good.
Oh, yeah, they look good.
It looks like an action platformer, but God, it was such a bad game.
Yeah. Well,
so you actually played it?
Yeah.
It got a 46 on Metacritic.
Winter sale starts tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So tomorrow would be the day that this podcast comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, next up, I got it's not video game related, I'm sorry, but the top 10 Star Wars movie quotes that sound sexual. I figure it's a good merging of what we like to talk about, sex and video games, and Star Wars. So, okay. Here we go.
Wait. Is this a game?
No, but if you guys can guess the name of the movie, it would be fun. Sure. The first one. Look at the size of that thing.
Oh, man. But then Star Wars.
Yeah. You came in that thing? You're braver than I thought. That's the classic one that everybody uses sexually.
Empire Strikes Back?
I think it's the first one.
Yeah, it was the first one.
Princess Leia says that about the Millennium Falcon. Hmm. Next one. You got something jammed in here real good.
Oh.
That's what he's cleaning R2-D2.
R2-D2, yeah.
Luke, at that speed, do you think you'll be able to pull out in time?
That was actually in the... If you haven't watched it...
New Hope?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Family Guy and Robot Chicken have done their whole Star Wars trilogy remake where they make fun of it. And they use that joke in the Family Guy one. Both of those are fucking awesome, too.
Oh, yeah. The Robot Chicken one. I was cracking.
I've never seen that one.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's claymation?
Well, it's, you know, Robot Chicken. It's, that stop motion they use with the dolls. But, yeah, it's great.
All right. I got a couple more. Get in there, you big furry oaf. I don't care what you smell. That's also from the first one.
Yep.
There's a lot of moisture in here. I think that's from the second one. Isn't that when they land the Millennium Falcon inside the asteroid?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's Empire Strikes Back, I think.
Size matters not. Judge me by my size, do you? That's obviously Yoda.
Yep.
I thought that hairy beast would be the end of me. I think that's C-3PO saying that.
I guess.
Pull out Wedge, you're not doing any good back there.
That's a good one. I like that one.
That's from episode 6. And back door, huh? Good idea. That's also from episode 6. Yeah. So there's my top 10.
So Bobby, after watching the movies, what are your new rankings?
After watching the most recent movie?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, by the way, we should let listeners know, we're not going to spoil anything if you haven't seen the new one. Yeah. We're not going to spoil it.
And there's quite a bit to spoil in that movie, too.
Yeah, there is.
I didn't pay attention to anything online and pretty much lived under a rock about this and was able to make it to the premiere of the movie without, going in fresh, didn't know anything about it, was just going to let it happen. And yeah, I really liked it. It was great. I've been watching a lot of the older movies recently, and some of them are worse than I remember, and some of them, some of them are worse than I remember.
I was really let down by A New Hope this time around.
Yeah, A New Hope. And really? You know what the deal with A New Hope is? That was the one where, Lucas was a director. They got a different director on the second one. You can totally tell. I watched A New Hope and then Empire right afterwards, and I can totally tell there was a new director. The types of shots were just a little more, they're a little more what you would expect in a big mainstream movie. And just the special effects in A New Hope were just not that good. And I don't really fault it for that because, nobody Super was doing that to begin with. But the lightsaber, there's totally jump cuts when Luke turns off the lightsaber. Obi-Wan turns off the lightsaber. Like, it's pretty bad. But
at the time, it was not.
Yeah. At the time and what they were working with, too.
And basically, it really... Was there space opera before that? Like, there was, but it wasn't, like, this big budget one.
I think
Like, Buck Rogers and all that stuff?
No. I think
Well, Star Wars was in 77, and really the movie that made sci-fi a thing was 2001: A Space Odyssey. Yeah, that came out, and then they had, what, like Planet of the Apes?
And then Alien? When did Alien come out?
Alien came out in the 80s.
Yeah, that was the 80s.
Or maybe 79. But, you know, while we're on the topic of sex in Star Wars, hold on, I want to show you one thing. I want to see if this is a screenshot. There's a place where if you freeze frame in Return of the Jedi, it looks like Han and Leia having sex. Yeah, there it is. So I Googled Return of the Jedi, Han gropes Leia, and the first screenshot is that if you freeze frame it, it totally looks like he's grabbing her... her tit,
and she's going, enjoying it, or yeah.
She's enjoying it immensely.
Yeah,
yeah, classic. I remember that from the 90s.
I would say Empire Strikes Back is still the best one.
Yeah, and absolutely.
And then I would put the newest one right after that. What is it called?
The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
So yeah. my order is Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, then Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, and at the very bottom of the list for me is definitely Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones is rough. It was hard to get. It was only the second movie that I watched that day, mm-hmm. and it was the hardest one to get through. Yeah. I
can't believe you guys are saying the second one is worse than the first one. That kid.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the deal, and like I'm not the first person to say this. There's all credits pretty much agree on this. The first one, I mean, as bad as it wasn't pandering to Star Wars fans nearly as much as the second one. The second one was seriously them trying to damage control the first one. They're like, okay, you don't like Jar Jar? He's out of there. Boba Fett, you guys like him, right? Well, here's his origin story. More Jedi lightsabers. And like, and nobody even knows what the hell is going on in the second one, too. Like, does anyone remember? I just watched it like a week ago, and I couldn't even really tell you the major plot points to that.
Yeah.
Like,
they fall in love. That's like the big thing, and they spend half a movie doing the love story, and I was just like, it's 5 a.m. and I don't feel like watching a love story.
It's pretty slow. I've seen the new one twice, and the second time I saw it was actually yesterday, and there was some dude snoring so loudly.
Yeah, that's
in the middle of the movie. Somebody was just like,
didn't you say during the marathon before I got there, somebody was snoring really loud?
Did you go at a weird time?
Huh? No.
Wow.
It was like 5 o'clock at night.
It was probably some dad with his kids.
Yeah.
And the kids were all excited and he probably.
But you know, a movie theater, and this was at the La Jolla 12 where they have the big recliners. Oh. You know, they each movie seat is basically a Lazy Boy with a recliner and it's like leather and, you know, really, really comfortable. So he probably just kicked back and.
It's funny that you said it was a dad because it's probably the most quiet he's had.
Yeah.
Even though it's a Star Wars movie and Dolby Digital, it's the most quiet he's had in fucking weeks.
Yeah. All right, one last sort of game. It's not a game, but I have a full list. If you go to the show notes right here, scroll down to the link. So the Wikipedia actually lists all the Star Wars video games that you can. So you can go through the list and actually see it. I just want to get your guys's best favorite Star Wars video game and why you have it. I think we're going to start with Bobby because we've talked about Bobby's favorite Star Wars video game 8 billion times on the podcast. So we'll get through yours and then we'll talk ours. So Bobby.
Well, yeah, mine's obviously Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight. It is a great game, even though it has some difficulty running on newer machines. I love that game when it came out. I replayed it less than a year ago and I'll probably replay it again. But it's hard to say that that's like the best one and only talk about that when there's so many other good Star Wars games out there. Really, really enjoyed Star Wars Rebellion, which was a 4X.
Rebellion?
Yeah, Rebellion. And it doesn't really get a lot of...
When did that one come out?
Late 90s, early 2000s. We've talked about it before, and a listener actually, when we talked about it a long time ago, a listener actually linked me a place where you can download it for free. Not like a torrent site or anything illegal, but I guess it's one of those games that have just been, I don't know.
Public domain.
Yeah, it's become public domain, so you can get the game for free now. And I'm surprised we haven't seen it on Steam, or I think it is on goodoldgames.com, GOG.com. But it's a great game. I remember playing like versus mode on this against people, and it was like Risk. You know when you played Risk as a kid?
Yeah.
You would play it all night, and then you'd go to bed, and the board was still... It's like that Seinfeld episode. The board was still in place. It's like, all right, nobody fuck with the board. You know, it's a serious shit. Yeah. You know, no cheating. And then you'd come back the next day, and you'd play it, and then like you'd go home, and then like a week later, you'd come back.
It's a persistent PvP. Like, yeah.
Like one game could take like 4 to 8 hours. It's like old school Age of Empires.
Wow.
Yeah. But it is... Such a
what kind of game is it? RTS?
No, it's a turn-based strategy. It's a 4X game where you have to like conquer the galaxy, and it takes a long time. And there's a lot of resource management, and then there's battles on top of that. It's a great game, even though it is a little dated. I think it still holds.
What is it called again?
Star Wars Rebellion.
Rebellion.
Yeah, I always recognize it because it's the shot from like the first movie of the giant Death Star, or not Death Star, but Star Destroyer. Star Wars Rebellion.
Not Star Wars, not just Star Rebellion.
Oh, yeah, that's not right. Oh, those were screenshots of it, though.
No, Star Rebellion is 3.6. Somewhere. And Dead Air. I'll talk about mine.
I remember that cover shot.
Yeah. Yeah, the box art is great. I always like the box art on it. But you can see from some of the screenshots what it looked like. You had a map of the galaxy, and
there's a board game, apparently.
Ooh, let's play the board game. I'm down for some board games. All right, what's yours?
You know, I don't think I really even got into a Star Wars game that much that I can remember. The one that I played the most, so I guess I'm going to say, is Galaxies, which wasn't... Yeah, I've never really played a Star Wars game, really. I'm looking at this list. I haven't played any of these games. Maybe the new Battlefront, just because of the graphics. Yeah, I'll probably go with that. That's why I still want to pick it up, too.
The Force Unleashed was like a big deal when it came out, and I didn't play that until a lot later, but I didn't think those games were that great, especially the second one.
I am
playing. The second one was on the... It was almost on my list of worst-rated games.
It was Force Unleashed. First of all, the game's like 4 hours long.
Yeah.
It was like an abbreviated version of the first one.
What did you make in Galaxies, Chad? You were
I was a chef named Crumbum, and he was fat and balding with a comb over.
Mm.
And so obviously I didn't have fun in the Galaxies.
Everybody kept making me make meals for them.
No, I had fun.
Yeah.
Until the dude I worked with, because he was trying to become a Jedi.
Oh.
And back then you had to master all the skills. He literally went from zero to max in as a chef.
Using macros?
In one day using macros.
Yeah.
And I had been, you know, just, you know how I play. I just wanted to do the PvE part and have fun.
And that was a game that was really susceptible to macros. I was working tech support at the time, and there was a guy that I worked with. We used to always talk about video games, and he would always come in and say like, oh yeah, I got my fucking character grinding, running macros. I went home today and he was like level whatever. And like, it's like, damn, you know, that was like the first time I'd ever really heard about, like Galaxies? Doing that shit. Wow. Well, not Galaxies, but
it wasn't macros. It was a bunch of like mouse. You'd have you'd set up a command to move your mouse here and click here and move your mouse here and click here.
I think they're called macros, 'cause that's what they called them back then.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically a macro. You can call it a couple other things, but a macro is basically just any sort of automated.
But yeah, you would go into the bar and there'd just be like 200 people dancing.
Yeah, Twi'leks would be dancing and
trying to get to maximum.
Trying to get credits and shit from you.
But I never did any of that. I was a sniper swordsman camper. Because you could pretty much do whatever you wanted in that game. Three skills. So yeah, I was snipe. And then when they got up close to me, I had a two-handed sword. And then I was really good at camping, I remember. By the end of it, like, whenever I set down camp, it was like a tent and like a lawn chair and like campfire and food cooking, and it was nice. It's a nice little thing.
it was a valiant attempt that failed miserably, I think.
Yeah.
Would you?
I had some nice ideas. I like that you never could increase your hit points. You could only increase your armor, like what you were wearing, but that could affect you as well. You could never really level up. They wanted it where a level 1 could kill a level 100.
Yeah.
Even though the odds were stacked against him. And so that was interesting. Conceptually, there was some stuff there. But yeah, you know, ultimately, the way they wanted you to become a Jedi was...
Well, that's a dead game now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, they don't even run the servers.
I never even saw
it. It closed shelf in 2011.
I never even saw a Jedi in that game.
I didn't stop.
We were out pretty early.
Yeah, we were out pretty early.
Yeah, and I really wanted to tame Rancors. But
could you do that?
Yeah, you could do that. And you could have two baby Rancors instead of one big one, too. But yeah, I never got that far. The other one that I really enjoyed was the Pod Racer on the GameCube, I think it was. They all had really big heads. It was like a kart game, but it was a Pod Racer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there were some strong points to that, too.
It wasn't called Pod Racer, because Pod Racer was the one that... wasn't that Pod Racer the one that you saw in arcades, and it was kind of like a actual racing game?
I don't know. So you're talking so long ago.
Yeah. All right, so my favorite... I'm going to say, for PC game and non-PC game, my favorite PC game probably was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, but I loved the X-Wing series, all of them. There was X-Wing, there was TIE Fighter, there was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. That was like my childhood right there, was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
You bought it recently, but you haven't played it, right?
I bought it. I wanted to start with X-Wing, and then I realized, wow, maybe this is really old. Maybe I should go straight into X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Mm.
But it was just a really cool concept. Like, you would go in. The missions were always the same. So you'd have to do the missions. Well, I was a kid back then, so maybe it wasn't. But as a kid, I would have to go in and try to do these missions again and again and again, because you'd have to try to do them right. Mm. But it would be like protect a convoy, and the other things would jump in, and they would have the interdictors that would put the gravity field so you couldn't hyperspace out. So they would have to get to the edge of the gravity field, and you'd have to like be protecting these convoys. So it wouldn't be so much as you stay alive as you try to keep your buddies alive.
Escort missions
and stuff like that. It was a lot of
fun. Before there was escort missions,
yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I have to say, probably my favorite Star Wars game of all time is Super Star Wars, just because there's so much nostalgia. Do you guys remember this game?
Super Star Wars for
the Super Nintendo?
Yeah, I think so. It was pretty good.
Bring up screenshots
at the time, anyway.
of this. Super Star Wars, it was a side scroller, but then you could also, it had like speeder things also going on with it.
Yeah, I remember this game.
Yeah.
I think I rented this from Blockbuster.
I think that's the way it was going.
Look at like the speeder. Do you remember the speeder part that you'd have to do?
I don't think I got that far.
Oh,
I remember that.
So fun.
Yeah, and they had one for every game. I remember playing Return of the Jedi, Super Return of the Jedi a lot. I remember that first level, you got to go through Tatooine to get to Jabba's Palace.
And you can throw your lightsaber, I think, and control it.
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember, yeah. But I had so much fun as a kid.
Even the Nintendo game on this was really good.
I see that first image of the Super Star Wars video game cover.
Oh, it makes you cry?
It brings me back. Just I saw that one and I was like, holy shit, I had forgotten all about it. So that's what we got for Star Wars stuff. And can we talk about the movie real quick?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really good. It lived up to the hype.
I gave it about an 8 out of 10. I liked everything except for the casting. The main characters...
8 out of 10?
I give it an 8 out of 10.
And you still give it the second best Star Wars ever?
Yeah.
Okay. But what's up with the casting? Who did you not like?
So, you can't really say.
Well, here's the deal. Star Wars always meant lived in for me. Like, this is a real world. Things are falling apart. You're buying used stuff. Like, it feels like a real world. You know, Star Trek, everything is military and everything is shiny and new because, you know, the military runs it. So, but Star Wars is like how I would imagine it would really be if people lived on all these planets.
A long, long time ago.
Some of these planets were, like, poor, and some of these planets are rich. And we get into this new Star Wars, there's not a single character other than the old characters, there's not a single character that's in their 40s. Like, everybody was young. You know what I mean?
It makes no sense to me, dude. This is the second time trying to argue this point. I have no idea. You're trying to write movie for the next 20 years. Disney bought this for a reason. Obviously, you're going to get young.
Well, none of the main characters are old.
Not the main characters. I meant the side characters, the general. And,
They had some old. They brought back a lot of people.
But that's what I mean. The only people that are older than 30 are the people they brought back. Like, everybody else was brand new. Young.
Nobody knows what you're talking about, dude.
Yeah, nobody. You're saying there's nobody over 40 in the movie?
Yeah, correct.
There was a lot of people over
40. Who?
Well, you can't tell the age of the aliens, but I'm sure a lot of them were pretty old. General Jan Dodonna was there. Nia Nub was there. He's got to be pretty old by now. I mean, a lot of those people, Admiral Akbar. Nia Nub's the dude who looks like his face is a stack of pancakes. He was flying with Lando Calrissian against the assault on the second.
Oh, he's an alien.
He's an alien. Jan Dodonna is, he was from a third movie. Oh, he might have been from the first one. He's the old dude with the real long white hair. I was surprised to see him. I was like, oh, shit, they found that dude. I heard they couldn't get Wedge Antilles back, though.
Really? Like, that guy's doing so much work doing other things.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But again, he is right, but it doesn't matter that he's right. There is nobody.
Well, first of all, most people in the movie are aliens.
No.
So you can't tell
how old they are. Deal. Do you remember in A New Hope, the dude that's running the Death Star? How old is that dude?
I don't know. He's old.
So
you're talking about the Empire.
I'm talking about everything. Like, everybody's young. There's nobody old. I felt like this movie was aimed at 20-year-olds.
I don't know.
They are! They're aiming at the young... It's about a new generation of Star Wars fans.
I know, but...
And they want to make money for the next 20 years, 30 years.
I know, but what I'm saying is, if you walk on the street, you're going to see old guys and new guys. And when I felt like I was walking down the Star Wars street... All I saw were kids. I felt like I was in a high school. Like, everybody was young.
I don't know.
I didn't really...
Hey, write in and tell Chad how stupid he is. Please.
Other than that, I like the movie. Movie
that cost that movie a whole point. He would have gave it a 9 out of 10 if it wasn't for that.
I might have given it a 9.5.
That nobody else sees.
Yeah.
Hey, wait.
That's funny that's like the one thing you complain about, because the biggest complaints that they try to address in the new movie, I mean, aside from the obvious stuff about pleasing the fan, but they wanted to have female characters and they wanted to be racially diverse. So you saw a lot of women, a lot of African American, you saw an Asian dude, you know, you saw a lot of different people, but no old people apparently.
Yeah, correct. That was the other thing that bothered me. Was that obviously people wanted to be in this movie. So I saw people that I had seen in other stuff. And when you hire like the main people as people that you don't know, you kind of expect that to continue on. And then all of a sudden you see the guy from Heroes as one of the guys that are flying the X-Wing. And you saw the Asian dude from something else. You know, like you saw occasional characters that...
Yeah, they're actors, dude. Who else are you going to hire? People from the street?
No, actors that I don't know from.
Oh my God.
Just like you did from the main.
Oh my God, stop it. You're not making any sense.
You're being ridiculous. You are being ridiculous. For not.
Okay, I know three people that have said now that they don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Okay.
All right.
Wow, three whole people.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Out of the three that you've told.
You know three.
All right, we got to talk about some real games and shit.
All right.
Does anybody else have any comments on Star Wars?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to. I don't know where to draw the line with spoilers, so I don't want to say too really anything about it other than that I really liked it.
Yeah, I mean, something to have that much around it. Something so, J.J. Abrams, if you want to say one thing, he can handle pressure. If there's one thing he can do and deliver, you know? That's...
Yeah, see, this
has there ever been a movie endeavor that had more writing on it than this one?
Yeah, well...
Maybe. I don't know. This is a lot.
You know how I feel about J-Brams, first of all.
But
what? Even after this doesn't redeem him.
No, I mean, this is the ideal situation.
Wait, he's not redeemed in your... I mean...
He is good at working with other people's material. He is a crowd pleaser. And his whole mystery box thing, I really don't care for that. Like, if you watched his TED Talk... Like,
I love that TED Talks.
Yeah.
That was
he
a
made
great
me
talk.
Watch it. Like, dude, you got to check out how good this is.
And the J.J. Abrams TED Talk?
Yeah.
It was garbage. Like, it's a mystery box. People don't know what's in it. That's what they like. It's like, no shit, dude. People like a mystery. Like, that's not a story.
But he told it so well.
So what are you saying? That as a director, he should write his own stories?
No. See, look at the other movies that he's done. Look at Super 8. That's basically his homage to Steven Spielberg. He's really good at coming in and doing, like, another...
Inspired.
Doing things. Work with other people's material. But I don't look at him as, like, any sort of auteur having his own distinct sense of style. And... like, yeah, the movie was fine, but I mean, there was no way this was going to fail. Disney was not going to let this fail. They did absolutely everything they needed to make this.
Dude.
I disagree completely because the more hands that are in a pot, the harder it is to succeed. And when you have that many people trying to put their influence on a movie, like, you can list hundreds of movies that have failed.
Yeah, this is Disney. Disney, who does Marvel movies now. They got their finger on the pulse. They know what people want.
But who did Marvel movies?
I don't know. Who did Marvel?
Joss Whedon, right?
Well, he did some of them. He did, like, the Avengers and shit. But, I mean, so is Jon Favreau and, like, other people directed Marvel shit, too. That's all been really successful. But the thing is, I mean, Disney knows what the fuck they're doing. They are the perfect company to handle Star Wars because they can handle something of that size.
Yeah.
But
J.J. Abrams under 25? Because then you guys can just join up on the hate train.
I don't know what he's saying here.
Yeah.
No, well, see,
what movies are of his are bad?
That's the thing. They aren't bad. They just aren't good. They aren't anything. They're just like...
Star Wars isn't good. Super 8 isn't good.
Star Trek. You know, it's just like...
Isn't good? They're all good.
Wait.
It's very hard to make a movie, dude.
I know what Bobby's saying. Like, he's saying he's not original. He just takes other people's stuff and makes it better. Right. But I'm saying that is an actual skill. To take somebody's world and be able to craft a story within that confines of the world. I think that is very...
Okay, well, all right. This is not really a big spoiler, but this is like my one complaint about the movie is they basically redid A New Hope. It is straight up A New Hope. That's like almost not shot for shot, but like it is a faithful interpretation of it. And they kind of redid it to introduce new characters and kind of transition it into the new generation. But come on, man. Opening shot is the fucking Star Destroyer over the moon. You know, there's so many plot points that just mirror A New Hope. It's ridiculous. So, I mean, yeah, it's like, how do you fuck that up? You just took something that already worked. And, you know, you brought back the old characters. I mean, they did everything. Disney did everything they need to do to please the fans.
Wait.
Bob, he's dealing with 200 people every day for 3 years straight. He has to manage all those people. He has to learn all these names. Like, it's super, super hard job to deliver as a director. Super hard. And he does it consistently. That by itself, regardless of what you think of everything else, is very admirable.
But here's my thing. You could agree that it's similar to A New Hope, but in your list of top Star Wars movies, is it above New Hope?
Oh, much.
Yeah, well, obviously. Yeah. I mean, New Hope was the first... You got to take things into context. New Hope came out, what, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
Almost 50 years ago? I mean, special effects were not that good back then. George Lucas was working on a real limited budget. He had his own wacky ideas about what he wanted to do. I mean, that was just the very beginning of it all, and it blew up. I mean, now Star Wars has become bigger than almost any other franchise out there, and it's got all this money behind it and all these fans behind it, like a built-in audience. I mean, it's just a different beast at this point, so you can't really compare the two in that sense.
I'm just saying, if he's homaging A New Hope, he did a good job.
Well, I know, and that's why I'm not complaining that much. It's because he came in and he did exactly what everyone expected him to do. But, I mean, it's not like... And, you know, this is what this movie needs to be. You know, it needs to please the fans. It needs to be good on these levels. But I'm waiting for those movies that are going to be in the Star Wars universe that are not necessarily the specific canon. The Star Wars 7, Star Wars 8, Star Wars 9. You know, I'm waiting for the little side stories about the Rogue Squadron and they give it to a more avant-garde director who wants to take it in a different direction and give it something really interesting. Yeah. And they already have a new director for the second movie. The same thing happened with A New Hope. Lucas didn't direct that. Kirshner, whoever, who did a much better job, directed Empire.
I agree with that, but I don't think you need to hate on J.J. Abrams just because...
He's good.
Well, I just don't... I mean, my biggest deal with him and the reason that I mean, I don't even know the fucking dude. I'm sure he's a great dude, but like the reason that I don't care for his work too much is Lost. Honestly, that's it, because all my friends are crazy about Lost. I'm like, they aren't even giving you anything. They're just creating fucking mystery after mystery, and they're putting you on. And
they should do a movie
What's in the box?
Season 6 finale, what's it going to be? And then everyone... Yeah,
they should do a movie about Lost, about creating Lost, because that shit
ran for 6 years, like 6 or 7 years, just dragging people by the nose. Like, what's next? What's going to happen? Let me get on the forums. It doesn't even fucking matter. It's just a bunch of writers trying to extract every little piece of story they can out of this to keep these actors paid and keep the show running for as long as they possibly can. And that's also kind of why I don't like TV in general, because it's episodic and it's meant to prolong. They sacrifice story for longevity.
That's why some British shows are so much better.
Oh, yeah. The British got it right. You know, like Sherlock.
Miniseries.
Like, yeah, the miniseries. I love the miniseries. And now with Netflix, they're kind of
Black Mirror, guys. Gotta see Black Mirror. Have you seen it, Bob?
No.
Oh, dude, you're going to love it.
It's on Netflix?
Oh, it's right up your alley.
I don't think I've seen Bobby this animated.
Oh, no. I was holding my beer can, so I was trying to bottle some of this passion.
Yeah.
So we could pull it out whenever we need it.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
We'll just bring up J.J. Abrams anytime we want to bring some passion to him. We got it.
I saw a picture of J.J. Abrams riding a dinosaur. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know what would be perfect if, like, J.J. Abrams was directing the Tomb Raider movie?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I'd really get on my...
Yeah.
Apparently, Tomb Raider's not selling too well on the Xbox.
But like the new one?
Yeah, the new one. It came out, I think, same day as Fallout 4, though. So, yeah. It's like, people that only had $60 to spend that month are definitely going to buy Fallout 4.
I didn't even know it came out.
Yeah. It's an exclusive on Xbox.
How long is that exclusive?
I don't know. Is Fallout 4 really big on consoles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's big everywhere, man. I don't know. Although, you know, I didn't see any record-breaking headlines or anything.
Yeah, it's a tough game to go against, regardless.
What holds the title still? Probably Diablo 3, right?
For
like most PC day one sales. On day one sales or whatever?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Which really doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's a Blizzard game, which right now you can definitely... If it were to come out right now, it would do even better.
Well, you know what I think it might have been, now that I think about it, is Diablo 2 came out, what, 90s, late 90s? Then you have Diablo 3 coming out quite a bit later. There were a lot of people still playing Diablo 2. I mean, that was a really popular game. Yeah. Everybody played that game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was like the long-awaited sequel to that.
Well, let's get into games, huh?
Yeah.
Now that we've talked Star Wars to death?
To death.
All right, who wants to kick this off?
Go ahead. There's a bunch of stuff that isn't mine, so.
Okay. What should we do? Okay. Let's talk about MechWarrior since we played it last week.
Yeah, man. So we announced last week that they came back to Steam with a bunch of new different things going on.
It actually went live. It's no longer early access. It's officially released.
A ton of updates, and it definitely put. I mean, right from the tutorial to the actual gameplay, it's seamless. It plays very smoothly. I didn't have one issue with it, really, except for maybe the UI is a little convoluted, but you're dealing with so much information that maybe it has to be.
And I think it purposefully makes itself difficult a little bit, because you're dealing with the people that like MechWarrior, and MechWarrior is...
really technical.
Well, it's a tabletop RPG, so it's a lot of like
number
charts, and you know these are the guys that care whether or not you hit the left arm or the left torso. You know, it's the kind of guys that are really into this sort of stuff. So I think they kind of played up that aspect of it. So for somebody that's into video games and not so much into MechWarrior, it is kind of daunting. Like you get into your mech and you bring up the list, and oh my god, each piece of your mech has like 12 slots to be able to put things in. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about heat sinks, and you're talking about, you know, your weapon, how much ammo you have, and all sorts of stuff.
It's impossible.
It's not impossible.
I started to grasp it after 10, 20
but
minutes.
You're going to have to spend some time if you really want to get into this game.
Yeah. But the actual game itself, playing, I had a blast, man. It was really, really fun. We actually did what, not very many times, but we did what we talked about last week, where he did his catapult, which is just legs with missiles. Just
it's legs, missile a cockpit. Base,
and missiles all everywhere. And so if anybody comes even close to him, he's dead. Like anybody. Even like the smallest mech.
I have no close range weapon at all.
Yeah. So he needed a spotter. So I picked something quick, and I would run out in front. Look at them, and I would even tell them which one, because the smart players stay under bridges to prevent them from getting hit from stuff like that. So I would tell them which one was primed to get rained on, basically. Blow your load on this one, Chad. And so that worked, kind of.
The catapult's funny because the way I have it set up, so you have different hotkeys for each of your weapon groupings. So maybe you have two medium lasers that are put to one, and you've got your actual bullet ammo set to two, and you have up to six of these that you can put. My setup is one button. I don't even get left and right click. It's just literally one whenever I want to shoot. It's just fire. I didn't have a second weapon, but it shot all six of my rockets just simultaneously at the same time. It was fun.
The downside of it, too, is people, because of the stream of rocket fuel or whatever, you could see where it came from.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you away as a sniper, but like a tracer round. But I can't complain, really, about anything. They are exactly what they want to be.
Yeah.
They want to... So the other thing that we brought up last week was the persistent battle. It wasn't too good, but we were playing at like 2 in the morning our time, which is 5 o'clock East Coast. So there just wasn't anybody playing.
So we waited in line. We waited 10 minutes on our faction.
Yeah.
And we got in, and there was two people on the other team when it's supposed to be a team of 12. So there was two people on the other team. So they just got fucking owned, and then the match ended.
Yeah, so, after waiting 10 minutes. But if they had another team, you get 4 mechs to choose from. So after you get blown up, you get to keep going. This battle just keeps going for 4 mech. And one of the things that really stood out and what makes this game fun is after you die, when you're spectating your teammates, it's not like Counter-Strike where you go to this guy and he's instantly dead. So you go to the next guy and he's instantly dead. And you're trying to find somebody that can stay alive for a second, because the action in Counter-Strike is under a second when it happens.
Yeah.
And maybe your guy wins, but it's like 50-50. It takes 30 seconds to take down a mech. So if you're following somebody that's in the action, you get to watch action for the next 30, 40 seconds. And I can't think of another spectator mode except for maybe Smite, because you could do that while you're waiting, right? No, that you couldn't really.
Arena, you could wait for a little bit.
So no, I would say, yeah, this is probably the best spectator mode that I can think of. It's really, really good. And people adorn their cockpits with,
yeah,
with like, but cheeky monkeys.
When you're seeing like the Hawaiian hula girl, the hula, yeah, girl, you're thinking to yourself, that's $4. Like, I just spent $4 on this little fucking thing in a video, virtual video. And that's
But these guys are lifers, though, I think.
That's kind of the downside of this. It really is pay to win. You can get better mechs than you can earn them, but it's really hard to earn some of these mechs that are way out there.
But us coming back,
we had fun.
But no, we had fun, and also we built up a bunch of like bonus boosts and stuff. We were getting tons of fucking credit. Oh, achievements. We were getting achievements, and it was just giving us tons of this credit. I felt like it's going to run out. But
we were getting like 5 or 6 million after we played.
Yeah.
And these high end mechs, I think, are like 40 or 50 million if you want to get like the high end stuff. And then you got to get your skills all up. And all this stuff I've heard, I don't know, all of this stuff that I heard you can just pay to win, pay to get up and just be these
it's best either, or, yeah. Well, that's one of the things you run when you go free to play, I guess.
Yeah.
But I never felt like, I died because that guy paid $100.
Yeah.
I died because I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
I always felt like the mech I was shooting has 8,000 armor. And my mech is made out of paper mache.
You feel like that way in every game.
It's true. Play. So I didn't hold that against Mech Warrior.
Right.
But that's how I felt. Like, holy shit, I shot this guy 18 times.
You played the crab. The crab is super tanky.
I know. I did like 300 whatever damage. It didn't kill a single fucking person. Like, how did that work?
Bob, you should give this one a go again. It's really fun.
I don't know. What was the other mech game that we played?
Hawken.
Hawken. Yeah.
Hawken, that one too. That one's more of an action mech game, though.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like this one, like you have to specifically get jet boosts if you want to jump, and those jet boosts barely get you above like a fucking curb. Like,
well, it probably depends on the mech you have too.
You really feel like you have weight in this game.
Yeah,
you feel like you're in a mech.
Giant fucking mech. Yeah,
yeah. And when you're chomping down trees, yeah,
yeah, man, it's pretty cool.
And when you do the jet boosters or whatever they're called, you hear this like sound, like this rumbling, like this deep bass, and you barely get off the ground, and then you hit the ground again, and the whole ground shakes. So yeah, it really feels like this is not a first-person shooter.
It's free to play. Pick it up, try it out. They give you some mechs to fuck around with. They're fine, and you know, just
and they change them up.
When he was talking about complexity, he's talking about when you're starting to modify your mech.
Yeah.
The ones that they just give you are ready to go. You could just literally click which one, jump into a game, be playing within 3 minutes. So don't let us ruin the experience by saying it's overly complex. Once you buy a mech, then it gets like it goes from renting a car and driving it to owning a car and having to change the oil yourself. It goes up quite a bit.
And the other thing that's cool is they've got four different like weight sizes. So they've got a light, medium, heavy, and then a salt class. And the game tries to normalize what... So basically a light has advantages by speed and a heavy has advantages by heavy weapons. But a light can kill a heavy because he can just be running around this heavy and the heavy can't turn around fast enough. It's kind of like watching an ogre try to fight an elf, right? Like you'd think an ogre was 3 times its size would just kill it. But the elf can run around and just kind of avoid any hits it's doing. The same thing is true in this game. So I think it's cool how... And the light is really small and really fast, and the heavy is really slow and really, you know, really powerful, really has a lot of armor. So the diversity in MechWarrior was more than I felt in, like, Hawken or these other games. Like, this game really had a diversity in mechs.
Yeah, we're not talking, like, the scout versus the heavy. We're talking about the lightest, smallest might be the leg of the biggest, strongest.
Yeah.
Just the leg. Because you have to look down at these little fuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can fuck them up real quick.
Yeah, but if you can hit them.
I wanted to mention that I got a new headset. It's a PS3.
The Pulse Implosion.
Implosion? Implosion?
It's a...
Impulsion?
Impulsion.
Impulsion. It's the best headset I've ever had. It's fucking awesome. It's so good. The sound is amazing. I can't... The sound I can't even put past like 60% because it's so fucking loud, super clear. I can go all the way to the kitchen, grab a beer, and still hear everything. It has a mic, but it doesn't have a dongle that sits in front of your face, and it doesn't seem to affect it at all. It hears me fine. It's kind of a little bit bulky, but man, the sound is... Binding of Isaac. Sounds amazing.
The 7.1s. It's got 7.1s.
It's fucking really good. Yeah. I love it. It's really good. And you know what the retail on this is?
I think it's $99 retail.
Wow.
But this is the old one. This is the PS3 version of it.
Uh-huh.
They do have a PS4 one that I run the other one, the PS4 version.
Oh, okay.
This is the older one, but it's the same setup. It's just, it looks different on the PS4 one.
Yeah, definitely check this out, guys. If you're looking for a headset... my last two wasn't very happy with. They both had issues.
And it's wireless too, which is
Bluetooth, right?
Bluetooth, yeah.
Bluetooth with it makes you so much more clear. Highly recommend.
It's Bobby, what do you got? Pulse Impulsion.
Impulsion.
Pulse Impulsion.
Fuck.
It's good.
Terrible name. I've had a chance to play a lot of stuff recently. I'm on vacation, yay. Awesome Knots.
You're back into this, huh?
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to bring it up.
I'm glad you're getting off of the Heroes of the Storm MOBA.
So I'm still playing quite a bit of that.
The Awesome Knots MOBA.
I do enjoy MOBAs. But Awesome Knots is a game. It is a 2D MOBA game, 3v3, extremely fun. I go back to this game at least once a year. I'll get into it for a while and play the hell out of it. I always try to get you guys to play it with me, but have not...
There's a reason I don't play it, and when you're done, I'll tell you why.
Well, you can get it on sale for like $2, but there's a ton of DLC, mostly cosmetic. A few of them unlock other characters, but it's just a great game, and I really enjoy it. What's your deal with it, Chad?
Their matchmaking sucks balls.
I don't think they have enough players to matchmake.
Okay.
And it's 3v3, so any disparity is a little more obvious. But I don't play this game competitively. Like, I don't play this, and I don't take the losses too hard, but it's more of a casual game for me.
Every single time I played this, and I probably played 10 matches.
Do you play with a controller, though? I should ask that.
Yeah.
Okay, because you should definitely not play with a controller.
Oh, okay. Is that yeah. is that well? And you hate the controllers just in general.
This yeah, is coming from you.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is a game where I actually started out playing with a controller, and then I used a keyboard and mouse, and I started asking other people that I played with. There are a few people on my friends list who are fanatical about this game, and I asked all of them. They all play with a keyboard and mouse. The reason being is you still aim like a MOBA. There are plenty of skill shots in this.
Yeah, there are.
You have to have
They're
a mouse
almost all
for
skill
that.
Shots, right?
Quite a bit of them, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like, most of them are skill shots.
It's similar to Smite, where you just aim yeah. and shoot. You know,
it puts you in an odd place. Actually. You don't own it?
No. Yeah. I never gave it its due. I did play it maybe a round or two, but I don't know.
Well,
remember.
A lot of people don't own it. You can play it local co-op, but a lot of people don't own it. And I think it retails for $15, but I'm telling you, wait tomorrow on the Steam sale. You'll be able to get this for, like, $2 to $5, and it is so worth it. This game is incredible.
So I've played it probably 10, a dozen times maybe or something. Every time I play, I'm just getting fucking owned. Like, not even respectfully owned. Like, I'm getting raped.
You're probably playing people that have been playing.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, give me a
no,
fucking
No, because
break.
That's all that's left, is what I'm saying.
Okay, well, maybe, that still doesn't make me want to play this game.
Yeah.
If I can't play with guys that don't know what the fuck they're doing, just like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, then why the fuck am I playing
this? When this game goes on sale, you guys, Emilio needs to buy it, and okay. we'll all play together, and I'll kind of coach you a little bit. I mean, yeah. I'm not super expert on it. They do release new characters like they do in other MOBAs, but not Still? Nearly as often. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're actually having a big, or they're making a big announcement today, December 21st.
Who makes awesome announcements, by the way?
Ronimo?
Okay, so this is like their game?
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
not like a...
Awesome Knots makes Euronimo. It's not the other way
yeah,
around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I highly recommend...
I was excited to play this game. I was like, okay, 2D, a 2D MOBA. I'm digging this.
And the way they do the lanes is verticality, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You take they elevators
got a,
up
They got
down.
A top, a mid, and a bottom.
Is yeah,
it two,
so it's very
it
much...
Two,
the movement
three?
Is like a platformer. Different maps are different, okay. but... The movement is like a platformer, which makes you want to use the controller, but the aiming just requires a mouse. So it puts you in a weird position. So
yeah.
I think it's better to go with the mouse and keyboard for better aiming and sacrifice the mobility of a controller on this.
All right. If
you
this
already
goes
own
on,
it?
If this, I think I played it off his. I played it on console also. If Bobby wants to play this, I will pick it up next time it goes on sale. The three of us can play it. Yeah. But as soon as I get raped in the middle of the field on this, I'm out.
All right, Chad, you're up.
Oh, I do have a lot this week, don't I? I play a little XCOM, Enemy Unknown. It's funny because XCOM is one of my favorite games of all time. The original XCOM UFO Defense is one of my favorite games of all time. And when XCOM Enemy Unknown came out, I was excited for it. But... it was just a bad time for me to play games at the time, so I never ended up playing it, and you guys kept talking about how good it is, and I've just kind of been putting it off. Here's the deal. I've been putting it off, I've come to find out, because I think turn-based action can get a little... like, Divinity Original Sin, like, you need an investment. Like, fights can be 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
And so I kept putting this off because I was like, okay, this is going to take fucking forever. It's going to be a big investment. I got into XCOM. It's so quick. The action in this is so much quicker than Divinity Original Sin.
Yeah.
Because you only have like two or three options.
Yeah.
You move, you do your dash run. If you can get two different moves going and an attack or an overwatch. Like, it's super quick. So I can get, and you have four characters that when you start you can get up to six. But your turns are really quick. And so I was playing this. I was having a blast. It's bringing me back to the old days of playing XCOM. The turn-based action in here was so quick and so nice, and they do it really well.
And cut you in real quick.
Yeah.
When I was watching you play, it looked better than when I was playing it. Not visually, but it looked even more streamlined. So I think there was some, like maybe some major patches since last time, because it looked even more streamlined. They made it even easier to do these commands.
Yeah. So I'm having a blast. My only problem is, so when you first start playing, they get you through like kind of a tutorial part. It's not a tutorial, but they kind of coach you in the first five or six missions, and they show you the different parts of your base and all.
Mm.
I got almost all the way through the tutorial, and I hit a bug, and I was just stuck. And I had to quit out and do the whole thing over again.
That's the worst.
So, but I got through it again, and now I'm having fun. I'm back in the game. I'm saving regularly now because of this happening.
Dude, I'm telling you, name your dudes, dude, because you're going to...
I've already killed, like, three or four of them.
Bobby, did you name your dudes?
I think I started to, and then I stopped after a while. It just became too much work.
Because... Yeah, I didn't lose too many people.
Well, because I'm doing the strategy where if they die, they die. I'm not restarting missions. I'm not starting over.
You were like my baddest dude last time. My shotgun and running motherfucker.
Well, here's the deal. Like when your first guy jumps in, he's got four health. And they shoot and do three damage. And if they critical, that guy's just straight up dead in one shot. Mm. But then once they start leveling up, Now my guys have like 11 health or something.
Right, right, yeah.
So now I might think about starting to name some of them. But the dude at 4 health, I'm not going to name that guy. He's going to die. He might die.
He's the red shirt.
Yeah, seriously, the red shirts, for sure.
So big news from DL Gaming. XCOM is a good game.
Yeah. But... are you guys going to pre-order XCOM 2? What's the deal?
No need
pre-order. No, I don't even think they're offering a deal for pre-ordering.
I don't know.
Like I said last week, their games go on sale super fast.
Yeah.
So it's one of these where you.
I didn't intentionally play XCOM because XCOM 2 is coming out, but now that I'm starting to get into XCOM, now I'm starting to get more hype for XCOM.
You still 2. Have two more games you can play between that. There's the
Enemy Unknown.
Yeah. Or Enemy Within, I believe it's called.
They really need to work on their names. They have way too many. I've only played XCOM, Enemy Unknown, but I've heard that's the best one.
That's the original. And then Enemy Within is the expansion?
Yeah, which I think means that you've been infiltrated.
Yeah.
Enemy Within.
Yeah.
And then there's the one that wasn't supposed to be that good, the Bureau or whatever.
Did that actually come out? Yeah, that was the first-person shooter one.
Yeah, right? It was a first-person shooter. It wasn't a tactical RPG.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a first-person shooter.
I think you guys are wrong.
Well, we could look it up
online. No, that was the one because they had an idea to turn XCOM into that game, the Enemy Unknown, and they decided against it or something happened, and they released it as a tactical RPG. But the Bureau was the new version, and it absolutely tanked. Let's see how they classify it here on... Yeah, sure. Let's go to Wikipedia. So, wait. The Bureau XCOM Declassified is the actual name of it.
Did that actually come out? I thought they had canceled it.
It definitely came out. I just don't think it
was. Tactical shooter, third-person shooter. Yeah.
Third-person shooter. Wow.
Yeah. So, it's very unlike the other XCOM games, and it did not get good ratings. Well, that's like...
So, when the original XCOM came out... So, XCOM UFO Defense came out, and it was everything I wanted. Mm. They had the comic book style intro... They had the, it was, if I could have designed a game, it would have been XCOM. And they literally came out with it. It was like the best wet dream you've ever had in your life.
Did you play Terror from the Deep?
And then they came out with Terror from the Deep, which was even a better game. Hmm. And it, like, when I was already at 11 and then Terror from the Deep came out and it didn't disappoint in any way. And then they came out with the next game, which was... XCOM Apocalypse, and I was so hyped for the game. Like I've never been the hype train. I was the entire fucking train for this game, and I was so excited for this game. And it was the worst game. It's probably the worst game. I will probably consider this the worst game ever made because I was so hyped for the game, and it disappointed me so badly. And so,
the preliminary things that I've heard from XCOM 2 is that they've enhanced everything from Enemy Unknown and got rid of anything that was even slightly bad. Like, it's the perfect upgrade.
Good. I'm excited now.
But we'll see.
That's...
Let's start up that hype.
Yeah. 2-2.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, Crytek, that's the guys who made...
Crysis.
Crysis, which is known for its graphics more than anything else. They're coming out with...
But Crysis is... Crysis.
No, it was good.
The games are good, decent too.
But I think it was.
Wait, what's the most recent one? That was.
Three. Right?
That was the one that was really short but really good, right?
I didn't play that one all the way through. That's the only Crysis game I haven't completed yet.
Yeah, same. And you know what's funny is there's probably a 5-year gap between one and two, mm-hmm. or one and three. but the graphics didn't. They did some sort of thing with the devil fucking to get that.
Yeah, the Crisis first game,
it was like
you couldn't run on any system.
Nothing. Nothing at the time. I feel like that never happens anymore. That's what I was telling you. Like, I don't think games get up ahead of the hardware anymore. But anyway, Crytek, which is known for the graphics, is coming out with The Climb, which is a game for virtual reality. Mm. And it's a mountain climbing game where, you know, you have to...
First person, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah. You know, it's VR. So you're looking at this wall and you're looking up. And you're looking for footholds. Even handholds are called footholds, right?
I don't know.
But anyway, that's the whole game. I don't know if there's a narrative or anything like that. But these are one of these experiences that is like kind of like a no dub, but I hadn't thought about it. And looking down for people that have vertigo or you know, fear of heights.
That's me.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking super intense.
What's the Sylvester? Do you remember the Sylvester song?
Cliffhanger.
They should have marketed under the cliffhanger tag.
Yeah, it could be a mod.
That would be awesome.
And you know, I have some news. Should I just tie it in? I'll bring it up later. But anyway, I'm just kind of excited that, you know, I've seen two games that are specifically for VR that seem like AA, AAA titles. So that's pretty cool.
Hmm.
The Climb, though, this is considered AAA?
I'm just saying AAA because of Crytek's graphics.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, it seems like more of an experience rather than a game. Are they going to build a story around this? Is there going to be a campaign?
All I know is that I've read two people that got an early build and it scared the shit out of them. And that when you're trying something out at a game studio, the devs are standing around you while you try it out. And if you stumble and cry like a bitch...
Yeah.
That's in front of a group of people, and then you realize what you just did. And apparently, that's what happened to one of the guys. He's standing in a room, and he fell. He stumbled, even though nothing had happened. You know, he was like super embarrassed. But
gotcha.
Hmm.
Now, if they put Assassin's Creed in first person VR, I'd probably play that.
Hmm. And Assassin's Creed, not any of the past ones, right? Something built from the ground up.
Yeah. Like climbing buildings, and then you're atop on the little perches, and then you jump down into the basket of hay or whatever.
What's the one where you deliver messages? You're the Asian girl. You're the Asian girl that delivers messages. It's a parkour game.
Oh, yeah.
Mirror's Edge.
I didn't know she was Asian.
I've never heard it described in that way. I thought you were talking about some hentai shit, but that's okay.
Part 2 is going to have VR support, but I don't know how good it's going to be. But we'll see.
So, my kind of big game this week was Shadow Complex, and I was not expecting it to be my big game of this week.
It was supposed to be my game that I was going to play, and then I had no time this week, but I told Chad that it was free. You have to download the client from Epic Games.
So, Epic Games, if you download the client from Epic Games during the holidays, you can download Shadow Complex completely for free. They don't ask for anything. Just download it, and it's so. I believe it is an HD version of an earlier game.
Let me cut in real quick too. When you have to download these clients, I hate everything but Steam. But this one didn't seem to bother me for some reason.
No, it didn't bother me either.
It's just kind of like a web page almost.
It's almost like I'm booting the game up, but it's kind of got cool graphics and stuff coming on before. Yeah. And I signed up for two betas.
Yeah, me too.
While this was downloading, so it wasn't that bad of a deal.
Paladins and...
Not Paladins. Yeah, what is
Paragon?
That one? Paragon.
Paragon, which is a MOBA.
And then what was that other one?
I don't know, but I'm excited to play both of them. And it already paid off. I got invited to play on Thursday or something.
For Paragon?
I think so. Or the other one.
Okay. Well,
yeah, download this thing.
Yeah, download it.
Apparently. Yeah.
But so I played Shadow Complex, and it starts off, and you're playing as this black guy in this super suit, and he like kills two guys, and the graphics aren't like amazing, and I'm like, what the fuck am I playing? Like, and he's talking to it, and the vice president's in trouble, and I'm like, wow, this game is bad and cheesy. And I don't know what the fuck is going on. and you go in, and it's a side scroller, but you've got a reticle, and the reticle will allow you to shoot in 3D. So you're doing a 2D side scroller, but guys can come out in the background, and you can shoot them, right? Is that kind of
how, yeah?
Kind of.
I'm guessing, but also, is that how Awesome Knob is?
No,
so you're running around 2D.
It's not. But it's all in that 2D plane.
Okay,
but this game has depth to it. And so you end up shooting down this rocket, and then this guy gets in trouble, and I'm like, oh my god, this is the worst game I've ever played. I'm about ready
because
to close
it's super it. Cheesy, right?
Yeah. And then it switches scenes, and now you're playing as this guy who's on a date with this girl, and the date is you guys are going to go in these caves that she knows from her childhood. And I'm like, what the fuck am I playing? And I only have a flashlight, and what the fuck is going on? And then it goes in this awesome way, and I just couldn't stop playing this game. It was like it dick punched you, and then it like gave you the best BJ of your life.
It was a trick though, right?
Yeah. Like all the beginning stuff is like, stop playing this game, please don't play this game. And then once you get through that, you play this awesome game. And I'm like, why did they have this beginning part?
The beginning part lend to
No. It just there was nothing good about the beginning part. But once you play the game is awesome. I couldn't put the game down. I was almost late to work playing this game.
Chad was playing like 2 days straight nonstop. Yeah.
I played all the way through the game. It was 4 hours playthrough, but I went through in a quick manner. I didn't play the hard setting. It was just to play through it. It's cheesy at times, but it's cheesy on purpose, I feel like. And once you start getting into it, you'll start realizing that it purposely kind of makes fun of itself. But this game was awesome. I had so much fun. It was the most fun I might have had for free this year.
So it's your 2012 game of the year?
It's
or whatever it came out?
It's the most fun I've had for free this year.
Nice.
Yeah, by far.
That's a good way of
doing that. I can't say highly enough to download and play this because it is just a fun game. And it's free.
And the client is super, like...
You can sign up for betas in the client.
But it's also, like, it doesn't take a lot of system resources. It just kind of looks very... I don't know. It's nice.
It looks clean. What did you say?
It looks cleaner than Steam.
Yeah. But you were talking about the game. The game kind of reminds you of Metal Gear Solid.
In style.
Yeah.
Like the way you're wearing and what you're going up against is very Metal Gear.
And I didn't have a single moment where I was like, this isn't fun. Like, at all times, it was fun. Going around the map, like, all the stuff it was giving you, everything that was going on.
Oh.
It was just fun.
Clown Lotion told me about this game, and that was the listener question.
Oh.
So that all works out.
So, Clown Lotion, thank you very much. I had an awesome 4 hours, and I owe that to you, so I appreciate that.
Bob, what do you got?
Are you guys going to play this, by the way?
No.
Wow. I just went through talking about how it's free, how it's fun, and there's no reason not to play this game. And then neither one of you guys are going to play this game.
I even have it installed. But, like, I saw you playing it, and I was like, I got enough. I know what this is.
It's not watching me just... Just play. Play for 30 minutes.
Maybe I'll try it. It doesn't look like my type of game.
No, just trust me, Bobby. Play for 30 minutes.
All right.
Are you going to play for 30 minutes?
30 minutes?
30 minutes. That's one match in Heroes of the Storm.
Nah, not quite.
I'm starting to figure out, like, I have two businesses that operate on free. Free doesn't... It's not enough anymore.
Seriously.
You have to be free and give you money.
Yeah, like... It's not asking for anything.
Well, definitely in the PC gaming world, free does not mean much. As a matter of fact, and I say this all the time, free is almost a bad word because it...
That's what I was talking to him about.
Yeah.
Like, people are skeptical about it.
Why would I want it if it's free?
Well, there's a connotation that goes along with free now. It's like free meaning you either have to sink a lot of time or a lot of money into this to get anywhere. Or there's a catch somewhere. Yeah. The free is a loaded word in the PC gaming world.
They are giving this to you free in the hopes that you download the Epic Games, launcher. Right. So they're giving this to you in the hopes that you download the Epic Games Launcher. So that's why it's client. Free. Client, yeah. So
all right, yeah.
You two download the game next week. I better hear shit that you played this game. That's all I'm saying. 30 minutes. You got to get 30 minutes.
So much other stuff.
Nah, we'll see.
Really? I'm trying to convince listeners to download this game. I can't even get my two friends to download this game.
Who are they?
I don't know.
I finally beat Life is Strange this week. I've been meaning to play the fifth episode of that for the longest time.
Oh, I thought it just came out.
No, Life is Strange?
No, the last episode.
Came out maybe a month ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's been a while. As much as I like these episodic games, I really wish they were closer together on the different episodes, because I completely lose interest. I forget what happened. It's like watching a TV show, watching episodes of a show months in between. But this game was great. I really liked it. Probably one of my favorite games of this year. And I was so burnt out on this genre, and this game just brought me right back. And it does it in such a different way that Telltale has done it. I want to say better, but maybe it's just different at this point, because there's been so many Telltale games. Mm. It's kind of getting old by now. But Life is Strange just nailed it for me.
So episode 5 is cleaned up, wrapped up the...
I think so. I'd say so. Really put a cap on it.
Okay.
You know, one of the big things in Life is Strange is making decisions, choosing one route versus the other. And they really sum that up in the final episode, especially at the very end. You have to make one final decision, and it really just sums up everything that the game's been about. So, yeah, definitely enjoy it. They did it on the Unreal Engine, but seriously, some of the character animations are so bad. You know, it's a lot of close-ups, talking, people having dialogue, and the lip movements are especially bad. And that takes me out of it a little bit. But still, I found myself really connected to the characters in this. So highly recommend Life is Strange. Grab that when it's on sale for sure.
So I played episode 1. I have all 5 episodes to play. I'm not going
to
play it.
That's what I was going to say. This is a perfect opportunity to shut his ass down.
No.
You are missing out then, because this is
really... Same are you with Shadow Complex.
I don't know, because...
You didn't even watch me play. Okay, like
how often do I recommend a game, though? How often do I say, this is a really great game? I mean...
All Heroes of the Storm stuff.
Heroes of the Storm.
Well, you only played 3 games this year, so...
Yeah, well, I haven't played that much, but...
The sample size is...
I'm just not... Remember I said at the beginning of this year, I'm not just handing them out anymore. Like, if I'm going to recommend a game, it's a strong recommendation.
All right.
Yeah, and this is one of those.
Okay.
So, speaking of non... Strong recommendation. Sparkle 2 Evo was 17.
Give me the name of the game again.
The Sparkle 2 Evo.
Okay.
Yeah. Was only Sparkle. 17 cents. So it has that going for
it. And it wasn't worth the 17 cents.
Dude, no, I seriously think I have 3 copies of this game on my giveaway list.
Oh,
you
really?
Should have just told me. Yeah.
I really like Chad's. Like, if you're ever just bored and you're like, I don't know what to play, go to Deals.
Deals of the Week.
Deals of the. No. Well, okay, whatever. Show all deals, and then price down. Price
sort by user by no. user.
Well, reviews. That's not what I did. I did it
from cheapest
to, okay. and then I go by and I see what's rated. Well, this was like 80% or something like that. This is a perfect game to play acid or play while you're on acid. It's like a lot of good colors, really soothing music, and you're playing a cell that's. Either you could pick either herbivore or omnivore or carnivore, and you're just going around
eating
and running from shit, bigger shit than you. It's like the first levels of Spore, but then it just keeps going on that. It never goes to like animals.
This sounds like agar.io or whatever. Did you ever watch me play that? Where you're literally playing as a ball, and it's got like a weight to it, and if the other thing has less weight than you, you can eat it, and then you add your weight, and if it's got more weight, then you get eaten. That's literally the whole game. Like, you can either...
Is it fast-paced?
It's just a browser
game. It's a browser game.
It's a free browser
game. I brought that game up, I think, last June or something, because, you know, I work around kids, and it's always interesting to me what they take to, and that game was like an epidemic. All the kids were playing that game. They were crazy about it. But, you know, they lose interest a month later, and then it's
something else.
Is
it anything like the Sparkle 2? Because you obviously played it.
The Sparkle 2, first of all, looks a lot better.
Oh, okay.
And it's, there's a little more to it rather than just moving a ball around graph paper.
You end up looking like a really complex virus, actually.
Uh-huh.
But it's all colorful, and it's just nice and soothing. Like, no, I could just sit back and enjoy this game.
It seems like an ideal iOS game or portable
game. But speaking you started of, this off saying that you didn't recommend it.
No. I just said, speaking of, well, I can't strongly recommend it. It's not a great game.
Is it worth the 17 cents?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Probably worth 50.
50 cents.
I'll give it 50 cents.
50 cents, okay.
But
the developer's excited about hearing that's worth 50
today
cents.
I told you about Chrono Trigger on Android. Yeah. Are you
Is it Android?
Yeah.
Does it cost money?
$5. Ooh. It's one of my favorite RPGs of all time.
I got a little... I have an answer to you on this.
Okay.
So
as soon as I play Shadow Complex, you'll play?
He texted me and said, hey, Chrono Trigger...
Who's he?
You. Oh. You texted me saying Chrono Trigger is available on Android. And I'm excited. The problem is my phone, the mem stick or whatever, the little 2 gigs. I only have 2 gigs on it, and I've been having all these like problems. I'm out of space. You delete shit. I can't even get emails anymore because.
So just
what are you putting on your phone?
So I ordered a 64 gig.
Ooh shit! What did that cost?
It was $40.
And it's a mini
micro. SD.
And
it's
64
on a micro. It's
for
coming tomorrow.
Bucks. Wow!
So when I get this tomorrow, okay. I will buy Chrono Trigger on my phone.
Bob, do you remember? Did it make an impression on you, Chrono Trigger?
Oh yeah, I love that game. That's probably the highest rated SNES game. If you go to like any like top NES games or most downloaded SNES ROM, Chrono Trigger's like number one.
It's really good, dude.
Yeah, it's the supposed first to be time. My best.
I'm actually excited game. When you said that.
Yeah.
I had already purchased it like an hour before you sent that email, that text, and I was like, "Yeah, this is exactly what I'm going
to
get this for."
It's the first time I remember saying to myself, "You know, I was like 14, 15. I enjoyed the story of that.
Hmm.
What just happened? That was very interesting to me. It wasn't all just shooting zombies.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Zombies weren't even a thing back then. But
at 14, it was more probably about sex, then zombies, and then story.
Yeah. Right. Bob." So Don't Starve Together, you've been playing with somebody besides me?
I played a little bit, and I actually opened it up to
Rude,
a public
first of all.
Game. I mean, you guys could have joined. But, you know, it's still the same game. The only thing I wanted to share about this was a funny story, something funny that happened. I opened it up to a public server, so a lot of people started joining, and I was surprised at how many people knew what they were doing. They jump in the server first, and they ask is, where's the base? And, you know, I tell them, we meet up, and then they start... going out, getting resources, and a lot of people were actually even better than me at this game. They were kind of caring.
That's what you wanted to say.
Yeah.
A lot of people are actually better than me.
Well, we were doing all right. Everything was going great. And then for some reason, we needed ashes. So we had to burn down some trees. And it was like this emergency. We were trying to do it before...
ran out of food?
Yeah, before somebody died. So I'm lighting trees on fire. And then I lit a tree on fire that was a little too close to our base. And right then and there, I just had all these strangers getting really mad at me and calling me a fucking idiot and all this shit. And it was hilarious. And I was like, hey, this is classic. And sure enough, though, you see the smoke start to spread and it's getting closer and closer. And then our base starts to smoke and suddenly everything's in flames and they're running around trying to move things. It was so funny. And yeah, it was great. I should have recorded that.
Yeah, you should.
For our DL Gaming highlights. But
so back in 1987, my mom... wanted to add some...
This is relevant to the story that just happened?
Add some firewood to the fireplace, or to the campfire. And she went and got some poison ivy.
Oof.
And put it on the campfire.
Oh.
And the entire camp... It was like napalm.
Yeah.
Or not napalm, but... you know,
mustard
like
gas.
Mustard gas. They're... And then my mom, we had to take her to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because she doesn't go... me and my dad are immune. But...
can you be immune to... poison
it's
ivy?
A genetic thing, but
so you are literally a tank.
Yeah.
Like you are human. You are the paladin of the human race.
Nah, paladin.
The warrior.
Nah, ogre.
The ogre.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, like one time we have some property over by Clear Lake.
Wait. It was a little side story. We're in the movie theater. It's Jeremy. It's me.
Dude, this is like Inception, bro. Yeah. We went into Emilio's side story. Now we're in Chad's side story.
No, this is
Does
a quick
slow
side story.
Down when we go from side story to inside another side story?
Yes.
Okay.
It's really quick, though.
Okay.
We're all in the movie theater.
Dude, let me tell you about a movie theater experience.
No. Seriously, this is quick.
Okay.
So, Jeremy, me, Emil's girl, and Emil, we're all fucking achy and sore because we've been in the movie theater forever. Emil's like, nah, I'm not sore at all. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you've been sitting for 15 hours. How are you not sore? He's like, nah, I just don't get sore. He is literally a tank. He's a real-life MMO tank.
I think you can do whatever you want if you just do it. I don't know. I don't think
if you really believe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Continue your story.
We had some property. I don't know who owns it anymore. But we went back after like 2 years, and it was all full of poison ivy. So me and my dad are like, we got this covered. We just plucked it with our hands. No gloves. Just put it in garbage bags. And then I don't know what we did with it. But we were fine. You know, maybe little itchy eyes, but nothing. My mom washed her clothes straight to the hospital, dude. Really? Just from like touching our clothes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've got like +8 constitution. Like
poison resistance.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's all go on to the news. We need to wrap this thing up. Yeah. Jesus.
Wait. I got one more thing.
All right.
I've been watching a lot of Dota 2 because I'm now on this Dota 2 kick. I'm watching a lot of esports on Dota 2. So I was like, oh, I'm going to play some Dota 2. I got some time. I'm going to give Dota 2 a go. I'm going to see if it's really, I'm really as bad as I think I am. And let me tell you, I'm really as bad as I think I am. So I played Bobby, have you played any Dota 2 recently?
Yeah, actually, I've been playing a lot of Dota 2 recently.
Okay, and I did the limited heroes option.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing good. Like, I'm not doing bad. I played Sven a couple matches, and every match I'm, like, just kind of topping the charts and all. The problem is, in the limited pool, you can just quit. There's no penalty for quitting. So as soon as somebody just is not having a good game, they just quit. So I feel like there's no, like, beginner part for Dota 2. Because I think the beginning part should be this limited hero pool. The problem is we can't get through a full match because somebody quits 10 minutes into the game every time I play limited heroes.
Hmm. See, that's funny. I'm surprised that doesn't affect their MMR because...
No, only this mode. This limited heroes...
I've been playing versus bots a lot just to practice. And that, if you leave that game, there are penalties.
Really?
Yeah. For a bot game, yeah. Wow. Versus AI,
yeah. No limited heroes. You can quit out, and there's no penalty.
It's a weird game. I started playing a lot more of this. I don't know what sparked my interest, but comparing it to Heroes of the Storm, first of all, I'm a lot better at Dota 2 than the first time I played it, just because of all my MOBA experience now with Heroes. But it is just a different game. It's not as complicated or as daunting as I once thought it was. There is a lot more involved, but these games go for 40 minutes, 45 minutes. That's at least twice as long than a Heroes game. So even though you have to do a lot more, you have a lot more time to do it. I mean, the laning phase alone takes forever. I got kind of bored. I'm like, shit, dude, we're 10 minutes into this. I'm still, you know, we're barely into the ganking phase.
It's seriously.
And the movement, mechanically, I don't think this game is that complicated.
It's not. And once I get into it, like my big thing is I can't do the shop and I can't do the courier. Like, if somebody else was doing that part, I could
were six people on our team.
If somebody was sitting shotgun and doing the courier and shop for me, I'd be a decent player. Not good, I'd be okay. But yeah.
I don't know. I think, I use the hotkeys. If you press F4, open up the shop, buy your ship, press F3, the courier, run straight to you.
I don't know the hotkeys then.
Yeah, you got
to
use the hotkeys.
That sounds pretty simple to me.
Yeah. F1, I mean, you can hit F2, select the courier, and then hit one of the buttons to have the courier come to you or have the courier go to the secret shop.
Yeah, but like you need to know when to buy shit, run to the right shop, because there's three different shops in Dota 2. There's the secret shop, the side shop, and the base shop. And not everything is available in each shop.
Well, when you try to buy something, it will ping the shop that you need to go
to. Yeah, true. But all this is happening on the fly, and you should be last hitting or moving to something at the same time that you're doing it.
Yeah, but that's something I think you pick up quickly. If you can learn that really quickly.
Let's talk hotkeys when we're off the podcast, because I need to get some work on this.
All right. Well, let's talk about some news. What do we got in the news here?
So, the Vive was delayed until April 16th.
Side note, the Vive sounds like a vibrator. Like, it sounds like a female pleasure device?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, okay. I'm sure there is one called that.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
There gotta be.
Gotta be.
So, you threw me off? Okay, there we go. So, you've made like 6 sexual jokes that weren't funny so far. And that's coming from me.
The king of sexual jokes that aren't funny.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to be funny. I just... You said the vibe, and I thought you were talking about a vibe. Okay.
We've had too much to drink this one. Very, very big technological breakthrough. That's what they said and why they delayed it. So big that they had to scrap whatever they were about to release, and because they didn't want to put something out there and then have to have a part 2 or 2.0 immediately after. So on one side... You're like, oh, this is bad because I have to wait, but it's okay because something awesome happened.
Yeah.
But the other side is we'll probably never know what that jump was. And this could just be, oh, where you're going to want to buy us, not Oculus. Mm. You know? Like, wait for us because they're never, you know what I mean? Like, this could be a ploy.
They didn't say, not even
vaguely hint to what it was.
Could be a new head strap.
Yes. And this came from... the lead of HTC. Like, so I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
The Vibe is that the
Steam one.
The Steam one.
HTC.
Okay.
So right now, as it stands, Bob, are you going to be buying a VR in 2016?
I'm sure I'll get one.
And as it stands, even though there's not a lot of information, are you going to be going with Oculus or Vive? As it stands, Vive has the sensors that track your surroundings. Location, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Oculus is a seated.
I haven't done my research, but I kind of assumed I'm just going to go with the Oculus.
Yeah.
I had assumed that I was going to go with the Vive.
Guys should go with each, and then we can review them and talk about them.
I mean, if this is the only thing that appeals to me about the Vive is that it's something closely related to Steam, and Steam is where I do 99% of my gaming. Well,
yeah.
I don't know, Blizzard now, so maybe a little less.
Epic, when you download Shadow Complex?
Yeah.
You didn't think about that, did you? All right, what's next?
Sony picks up Kojima and gives him his own studio. He already had it. Well, we don't know to what degree or how he really had it, but he had his own studio with Konami. He had Kojima Studios, but that could have just been a name they gave him and the people that worked with him.
It's so funny, this whole story. Like, Konami refuses to acknowledge it. God, it's so Japanese. Like, Konami is now saying Kojima's on vacation, and then, like, refusing to acknowledge that any of this shit's going on. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, Konami, I think, is just on their way out.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Dude, once this guy leaves...
Yeah.
What else do they have? Do they have any IPs?
WWE.
Is that true?
I think so.
I don't know.
That's about it.
Man, I could go on about this for a while, but Elon Musk, my boyfriend, he's unveiling OpenAI. So, he's probably... Everybody's on board with Elon Musk. Know who he is.
Yeah. He's the Tesla guy, SpaceX.
He's our Leonardo da Vinci, I think. He's going to be going down big time of, like, a historical inventor. But anyway, every time I read something about him, I feel like such a piece of shit. He works 100 hours a week, every week. Like, that. He says that's
just standard. I'm so excited whenever they come up with an Elon Musk movie, because I was reading, like, how he got to where he's at.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Just like hit after hit after hit to get where he's at. He started off making a game that got him $500, which was a little bit, but he got his seed money, and then he got into this X.com, which got bought out by or got merged with another company that owned PayPal, which then sold PayPal. Like, there's this whole story on how he, like, built up. It's just incredible.
They don't talk about his brother too much, and I don't even know if he's a major player anymore. But him and his brother would take, you know, you write code until you can't anymore. You lay down. The brother gets up and just starts writing code. Yeah. And that was the part where before they're writing what became PayPal. So, fuck, man. But anyway, so now he's open. All right, where to start? He said that when he was when he came upon this money, great power, great responsibility, what are the things that need to be done, right? There's four things. It was like expansion, like space exploration, renewable energy, you know, these four things. I forget what they are. But one of them was AI, not like developing it, but it is going to be one of these major factors. And you can look right down the list of these four things. He owns Tesla. I was in a Tesla Motors thing yesterday. Fucking awesome.
Yeah. Only car that's gotten 99 out of 100 on Consumer Reports for a vehicle. He's the Model S.
He owns SpaceX, which NASA just has. That's how the astronauts are getting their food now, SpaceX.
Yeah.
Because that he did it cheaper or whatever. Doesn't matter. Anyway, AI, he has said, he's come out and said that it's like one of the biggest terrors. Like, he's very scared of AI taking over, like, and he's a super smart guy, right?
So like,
he's
straight up, like, Terminator, right? Like, Skynet shit.
So his, instead of, like, shying away from it, he's making his own AI and putting it online. And anybody can, he thinks that the way to protect everybody is to give everybody access to it. And that it'll develop way faster. So he put $1 billion. He told one of his buddies to put $1 billion in it. And this, I don't know what it is. Maybe Bobby will be able to go in there and use some hotkeys, but hotkey and AI.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say about this. But this is, you know, this is a decades long project. But I don't know what to say about it except for just another one of a notch on his belt. You know?
My favorite quote from Elon Musk. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it's like, I made $160 million on PayPal. I put $100 million into SpaceX, $50 million into Tesla, and $10 million into Solar City, and then I had to borrow money for rent. Like, that's like how he thinks. Like, let me invest in these companies, and don't worry about me. Like, let's just invest, and this will come back to it.
I didn't know he owned Solar City.
Yeah, Solar City.
So I don't know if you. Let's not get into this. Fuck this up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for our news, and that's about it for the episode. You can check us out at dlgaming.net. That is our website. We're pretty active on Twitter, on Twitch. We've been streaming, also YouTube. Check out our videos there. And what else? What else we got going on? Any plans?
We got big stuff coming up for next year.
Happy
next
holidays, by the way. I know we didn't bring it up.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. No.
Hanukkah. Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate. What's the Seinfeld one that they do?
Festivus.
Festivus, if you celebrate that. Whatever you celebrate, happy whatever that is.
Yeah. And speaking for Bobby, Chad, and myself, titties!
Happy titties.
Happy titties. Happy titties, everybody.